buenos días, buenas tardes, and buenas noches at whatever time you're tuning in and watching our show. Welcome to Business Matters with Laura Nowlin podcast. And so today, I want you to know that we're going to basically, on our podcast, they are not scripted. They're not scripted where I say, we're going to come in here, we're going to speak from the heart, we're going to shoot from the hip, okay? And so we air every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, a new episode, unless we have technical difficulties. That sometimes happens. And so there's a little delay there, but no big deal, okay? And then I want to also give a big shout out to our sponsors, First CS Now Staffing. You can reach out to them if you need any staffing services at 702-902-2448. Ask to speak to Blossom. She's our business development manager, or Robert, our branch manager for recruiting services. Makeup today is by Faces by Dre, and you can get a hold of her at 714-595-1837. And our sponsor today for this nice new set that we're in today, we got new shoes, kind of like a new pair of shoes, right? Anthony Mendoza, he is the CEO of the Launchpad. You can get a hold of them at 702-997-1396. They do a lot of things here. They actually even do websites. They do the filming for your podcast. They have different rooms and it's just great. You have to come check them out. And then Hair by Maria Bolivar. She's with Beauty and Health. And her phone number is 702-845-9696. And now to our guest for today. We have Sarah Johnson, and she is the director for the state of Nevada, Lieutenant Governor's Office of Small Business Advocacy. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And so, like I said, you know, our show is not scripted. We want our audience to get to know you. We're just having a casual conversation. I'm getting to know you better. You're getting to know me better. And we just have a bunch of eavesdroppers. Okay.
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. So, Sarah, where did you come from? Like, were you born here in Las Vegas, Nevada? Are you originally from here?
I am not. You will probably hear in my accent, I am from the South, born and raised in Alabama, and then also by way of Nashville. I actually met my husband in Nashville, went to college and grad school in Nashville. And then we, you know, moved around. We moved to D.C. for a while, and then we wound up here for weather and taxes.
Oh, nice. Yeah. How many years have you been here then?
We've been here almost 12 years now.
12 years.
So yes, I've lived in Nevada. I've lived in Las Vegas longer than I've lived anywhere else. So yeah, we love Nevada.
Awesome. And when you got here 12 years ago, what did you go into? Like, what was your career? What were you doing?
Yeah. So when we were living in DC, my husband and I both work in policy. We both worked in like marketing of policy. My husband's a writer. And I was working from home, just doing marketing consulting with my own business. So small business owner myself.
Okay.
And when we saw an opportunity to move to Nevada, we thought, you know, this will be great. We can, you know, use it as a launchpad to travel. And, you know, the cost of living back then in Nevada was a lot cheaper than it is now.
Right.
And so we could afford to have a yard for our dogs and, you know, access to the outdoors. And so I just moved my business here. And so I was just consulting here with policy organizations that are looking to move the needle for more free market solutions, so more, you know, business-based solutions to problems that we have every day. And so I was doing that and then wound up working for the Lieutenant Governor 3 years ago or 2 years ago when he got elected and took office in January of 23.
So Lieutenant Governor Anthony Stavros.
Yes.
God, I always mess that up, but that's very
cute. You're the old one. Yes.
I remember that we elected him to come in and do, you know, to speak. And I kept saying, I think they're spelling your name wrong. We have it in the wrong order. It's Anthony Stavros. He goes like, no, Ed Stavros Anthony.
He always says, he's really funny. And he says, nope, Stavros means Steve in Greek.
Right.
So, Steve.
Yes, yes. So what is it like working for him?
He's a great boss. He's awesome. He's had a career, a lifetime in community service as an elected official, as a public servant. He started on his career in police, police enforcement and law enforcement. And, he has a PhD. I mean, so he's smart and he's engaged in the community and he's a pleasure to work for, especially as elected officials go.
And you know what? He returns your call.
He does.
He returns your text.
Yeah.
I remember reaching out to him. You know, I was dealing with an issue that I'm still dealing with, but an issue. Yeah. I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and start reaching out to people, in which I typically don't. I will tell you, I have a big network. I've been here for 18 years here in Las Vegas. But anytime I reach out to my network, it's not for me. It's always to help whatever community person that I can help. I will go ahead and use my contacts to try to help them. And I'm like, I'm in big trouble. I really need some serious help. And I text him. He's like, what time? Where do you want to meet? Yeah. I'm like, oh. So we had dinner together. I was able to share what was going on. And he gave me some guidance and, you know, leading me like, go this way.
Yeah.
Not that way. That's my issue, which I can really appreciate that. Because, once they become, they get elected.
Yeah.
A lot of times they stop calling you, returning your calls. They don't know you anymore.
Right. Yeah. That's too big for their bridges. That's right? What we say in the South.
Yes. Yes. Too big for their bridges. Did you guys hear that? Yes. I love that, Sarah. So you are a big advocate then for the small business community. So yes. You have a lot in common. That's me.
Yeah.
So tell me, like, what is it that you do for the small business community? What type of resources can they receive from reaching out to you?
Yeah. So working with entrepreneurs has been something that I've done since my first job right out of college. I worked for the National Federation of Independent Business, which is the nation's largest kind of lobbying firm for small business owners, small business owners. It's a membership organization, and I was proud to work for them. That kind of got me set off on the policy, on the policy route, and then also got me really interested in licensing and regulations for small business, because they don't have an advocate that is, larger businesses, like, for example, here in Nevada, the retailers or the resort industry, they can afford to have lobbyists. They have a team of attorneys who help them. Our small business owners, our mom and pop businesses don't have the ability to hire a lobbyist or hire an attorney who's just on staff, just waiting to, beat down any sort of issues, that lawsuits that come their way. And so, I saw that this as a real need in Nevada, and there was the Office of Small Business Advocacy, and I was so glad that Lieutenant Governor Anthony reached out to me to run this office. And so that's what we really focus on, is helping small business owners, helping these mom and pop shops cut licensing, cut red tape, so they can do the business that they want to do without the government getting involved and telling them how to run their business. A lot of what we sort of deal with in this state is we are the number one most occupationally licensed state in America.
Which, that's horrible.
It's crazy to think about. Right. It's crazy to think about. It's really, props to Nevada. We're very easy to start a business. We're easy to get it going. But if you're in one of these occupational fields that is licensed, there are a lot of burdens for you. It takes a lot of time. It can take a lot of money. I mean, it's just a lot of headache. And so we want to try to roll some of that back in the state to make it easier for people to get into these careers that should have a really low barrier to entry. But you've got people who are currently in the industry who want to keep them out. And so we call those gatekeepers, and yeah. we want to eliminate the gatekeepers as long as consumers in Nevada remain safe. That's one thing we always want to make sure, that the license is there for a reason, and it's consumer safety. So when we look at things like interior design, for example, Nevada is one of only two states that requires an interior designer's license. One of two states. And when I think about coordinating pillow colors or paint on walls, I'm not seeing where the consumer safety element is there.
Right.
And so we want to try and roll some of that back to make it easier to get into these fields.
So, like, I know that we had a conversation in regards to painters.
Mm-hmm.
So can you share what we talked about. It's like
we're
not painting your own house, but painting somebody else's house.
Correct. So let's say we've got a high school kid. His mom says, I don't have time. Paint the kitchen. He realizes, you know what? I really like this. It's kind of meditative. I can put on my podcast. I can paint a room. I'm going to do this as my, you know, as my job after school or on the weekends. Well, he needs a license for that.
Not crazy.
So you can paint your own house, fine. Mm-hmm. But if you were to paint your friend's house, you need a license. And the real struggle here is that not only do you need a license for residential, it's the same licensing requirements to get a residential painter's license as it is to get a commercial painter's license.
Totally insane.
Same cost, same time requirement to paint your neighbor's 1,200 square foot house as to paint T-Mobile Arena.
So my grandson, he started his own little business,
mm-hmm.
lemonade stand.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to be regulated.
Yeah. So
a food handler's card. He's 9 years old.
Right. So they can technically shut these little kids down. So there's actually a group of, like a children's entrepreneur group that I have spoken to a couple of times.
Yeah.
And they want to, you know, make cupcakes or make lemonade or make hot chocolate or, you know, any of these little things that we all did as kids.
Right. Yes.
I remember standing outside. I had my little, you know, little plastic playhouse and I'd stand out there with my, you know, 10 cents a cup lemonade. And technically they could be shut down. Technically they might need a license for that. There was an incident, I think, probably about 7 months ago where Southern Nevada Health District got involved and said, no, you can't do this children's entrepreneur fair and sell these food items.
And what is wrong with us? That's absolutely horrific, right? I mean, we want to inspire these kids
right.
to become entrepreneurs. There's like 7% in the whole world. There's not that many of us.
Right.
And so if you see that kid that wants to start his own business, let him.
Right. Well, and it's just such a good opportunity, you know, even if they don't have a great business idea and is just selling lemonade or whatever, but it teaches them about economics. It teaches them about, you know, oh, well, it's not just selling this. It's also the price of the cup and it's the price of my time and what's my time valued at? And all of that, like it's an opportunity for parents to really get involved in their kids, you know, learning about financial responsibility. And, you know, there's actually a bill this legislative session that would require state universities and colleges to teach, to have, require students to go through a financial literacy course. And I'm like, but we're shutting down entrepreneur
right.
in K-12 and it's already required in K-12 school. But, you know, beyond that, I mean, we're like shutting down these opportunities to teach our kids, you know, in real world examples, learning by doing. We're shutting that down when we shut down these children entrepreneurship.
I agree. So here's my little grandson. You know, it's fresh squeezed lemonade.
Yeah.
He makes his sign. Grandpa puts together a little cart for him. Goes out there with the bell. How much are you going to be selling your lemonade for? $5.
It better be good.
$5? I go, Evi, $5? He goes, yes, Grandma. The cup, the sugar,
good.
The lemons. All of this, Grandma, I'm like, okay, go for it, buddy.
Fresh squeezed. Yeah.
$76 that kid made.
Look at that.
$76. He took his little cart. There was a little construction area, a lot of Hispanics doing work. And he passed right back there. Hey, it was lunchtime.
Yeah.
They bought the cupcakes. They bought his lemonade. They bought his all the little snacks that he had. And, you know, I had the opportunity to interview him on the show, and this was a while back. And when I interviewed him, I said, what made you do this? What inspired you? He says, well, he goes, Grandma, I thought no big deal. I'm going to sell some lemonade and see if I could get some extra money.
Okay.
He goes, and when I went to your house and I went around to the yards, he goes, there was a man who came out and he gave me $1. He didn't buy anything, but he told me, son, you keep doing what you're doing. He goes, and then when I was outside my mom's house and I had my little stand, great grandpa came over and he said, son, you keep doing what you're doing and you'll have your own house later.
Yep.
That inspiration, we want to encourage that.
We do. Yeah.
Many of us are very hyper, right?
Yeah.
It's because we're entrepreneurs. That's the secret. We don't have bipolar because if not, we couldn't finish, complete any task.
Right.
We're just hyper. We have that energy. Let us loose.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Stop putting the leash on us. Let us do the thing that we want to do.
So I have a staffing agency. I've been in the staffing industry for the last 18 years. Owned my company since October of 2014. So we've been in it for over 10 years. I want to now do nursing staffing.
Yeah.
There's actually another license that you have to get. It costs over $5,000. You have to have an RN, a registered RN. It's like all this red tape. Can I just send people to work? My goodness. I'm already registered with the labor commissioner. I already have all the needed insurances. But here is one more thing.
Right. And you think about like, what is the need? Why do you need to have why does whoever owns this need to have a nursing license? I think you said, I need to be able to check that the people that I hire have nursing licenses.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you're just another you're a staffing agency.
Exactly. It's another field, and that we have a big desperate need here in our state.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So some things just don't make sense. So the way you were describing yourself, do we have our own lobbyists?
That is what I like to think about. It's the office that I run, the Office of Small Business Advocacy. I like to think about it as Nevada's small business owners, Nevada's mom and pop lobbyist.
Wow.
So we come through right now we're in the legislative session in Nevada. It happens every 2 years. So it happens from, it started February 3rd. It goes 120 days. So we're right smack in the middle of it. So we comb through all of the bills that our elected officials are putting forward. And we say, does this pass the smell test? Is this good for our mom and pops? Or is this something that is going to harm them? And then we let our small business owners know that, hey, this is going to impact you. And I think there's a saying that says something about you might not want to be involved in politics, but politics will be involved in you. So we try and make it easy to get involved. We try and make it easy to know which bills are going to be impactful to small business owners and then get them the information that they need to then go and testify. And there's a really good, Nevada just moved its Southern Nevada State Office building from the Grant Sawyer building over near the airport. And they bought a pretty big office complex. And so it's a really nice place to go and testify now. Feels very safe. It's very new. And so there's a place where people can go. We can help you write a testimony if you would like to, go there and present. We're happy to, the best way to present and do testimony is from your heart. But we can help you know what's going to be, how this bill is going to impact you. And then you can write your testimony. We can give you some talking points.
10 years ago, when I was getting ready to start my business, one of my mentors, Joe Hernandez, he's one of the co-founders of Nevada Hispanic Business Group. We started in January of 2015. And I told him, I hate politics. I do not want to get involved in politics. And he said, Laura, once you start your business, you're not going to have a choice because it's going to come after you. It's going to impact you. And so you've got to use your voice to be able to stop what could be happening that's stopping you from growing as a business, right? And so when we started Nevada Hispanic Business Group, it is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We don't politically endorse anyone, but we do advocacy. We will get to know people like you, Sarah, so that way if someone's struggling, now we have a lobbyist on our team.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
What bills right now that are pressing that you're like, you know what, entrepreneur out there, you really need to pay attention to this one or small business.
Yeah. So you can look up bills. It's called NELIS, NELIS. And if you, I think it's Nevada Electronic something or other, it's where you look up all the bills. You can see who's sponsoring the bills. You can get an abstract of that bill. And if you have any questions, you can always reach out to me. So you can go on to NELIS. Some of the bills that we're looking at and really kind of pushing, there are a lot of interstate compact agreements that are coming forward with a lot of the occupational licensing careers. So let's see, like massage therapists, like those are nursing is coming forward. So really kind of opening up that market. There will be one, I believe, for mental health professionals, which is a great need in this state.
Yes.
We are severely lacking on mental health professionals. That also helps them do telemed as well. There is a bill, Assemblyman Uwe Nguyen is putting forward a bill that will help with the Nevada barbering industry. So in Nevada, it takes longer to be a barber than it does to be an EMT that arrives to the scene of a car accident and saves your life.
That is absolutely insane.
Yes. So we do have reciprocity with other states, but it is up to the discretion of the licensing board, which is your future peers, on whether or not they approve you or not. So kind of reformatting that, opening it up a little bit, reducing some of the time that it takes. Because, you know, when we're talking about barbering, we're talking about cutting hair. We're not talking about using chemicals. We're not talking about using dyes or straighteners or anything like that. We're talking about cutting hair. And it takes around 896 days to get your barber's license in Nevada. And so Uwe Nguyen, Assemblyman Nguyen, is working on that. And we're very excited about that.
Yeah.
Senator Flores is working on Edgar. Yep. Mm-hmm. Is working on a bill for contractors to increase their threshold for what they're allowed to make as an independent contractor on jobs. Right now, the gross is $1,000, which when you look at buying, you know, let's say you're going to lay tile. I mean, that's your threshold is more than the tile. I mean, that's crazy. You wouldn't be able to purchase the equipment that you need to do the job that you're hired for. So we're really looking forward to that one as well. And I believe there's another one that looks at the licensing burden that's put onto, like, the good moral clause is what it's called for people who have been previously incarcerated.
Okay.
A lot of these licensing boards will put in what's called this good moral clause, which means they can reject you just because you have served time.
Wow.
Which,
no. I mean, hope for prisoners is huge here with John Ponder.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And again, you know, a lot of these occupational careers that are licensed by occupational licensing are careers that should be low barrier to entry. You know, they're your plumbers, they're your contractors, they're your residential painters. These are great career paths for, you know, people who, you know, want to get trained into a field and then go out and work. And we want to make sure that they have that opportunity. Clearly, if they've been in prison for financial embezzlement, we don't want them to do finance.
Right, right.
But if it's not, you know, we want them to be able to be a barber. And, you know, maybe, you know, the consumer knows that they have, you know, there's like a discretion thing that's like the consumer has to be aware, whatever. But they should be able to not just, you know, be eradicated from that career field because they have been previously incarcerated.
Do you think that our state does this so that way we do not, you know, build more businesses here and focus more on working in the hospitality industry? I mean, because that's what it sounds like to me. And then what's sad is that a lot of them that are incarcerated, like for me, if I'm working on a federal contract, if I'm working in a hotel in a casino, I can't send someone that can't pass a background check.
Right.
So sometimes their best resort is for them to start their own business. And most of the time, the reason they're in prison or in jail is because they're great salespeople.
Right. Exactly.
But let them start their business.
Right. And I mean, if legally there are, there have been studies done by the Institute for Justice, and there are a bunch of other kind of organizations that think the way that the Institute for Justice does, but who have looked at recidivism rates in states who have a lower occupational licensing requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And the recidivism rates The people who go back into prison after being let out are reduced significantly in states that have lower occupational licensing requirements. And so we want to make sure that people can do gainful and legal employment.
Exactly.
And not be, you know, facing all of these fees and time. You know, if you, it takes 900 days to be a barber and you just got out of prison. I mean, you don't have that kind of time to wait. You need to be able to get a job.
Mm-hmm. So if someone is, you know, if someone's maybe going through some difficulties and either starting their business or maybe the labor commissioner won't leave them alone or somebody is really bothering them of whatever is happening, how do they get a hold of you and your team?
Yeah. So we have, you can email me, Sarah Johnson, SarahJohnson at ltgov.nv.gov. You can also go onto our website, which is osbanv.com. And on there, we actually have our 2025 biennial report, which if I've piqued your interest about any of these occupational licensing things that are going on in the state, we also talk about like the cottage food industry. We talk about food vendors, street vendors.
Street vendors, that one's huge.
Yeah, that one's a huge one. So we talk about a lot of these things that we're seeing, contractors that we're seeing in Nevada that are particularly onerous and particularly impactful to a lot of our minority immigrant communities. And we want to see changes made in those areas. So you can get online, osbanv.com, and download that report and then talk to your legislators about passing SB 5. Which is the which funds my office for the next biennium.
Did you guys hear that? SB 5. It's a go. In closing, what would you like to leave our audience with? Maybe any words of encouragement of those entrepreneurs or those people that are street vendors right now that are having such a hard time.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah. So get involved. Again, if you don't get involved, the government will get involved with you.
Yeah.
So get involved, stay informed, reach out to our office and let us know what you're struggling with because, you know, we're not in each of these individual industries. You know, I'm not in contracting. I'm not in painting. I'm not, you know, baking things at home and trying to sell them like a cottage food industry person, also particularly onerous in our state. So reach out to our office. Let us know that you're having a struggle in a particular industry and, you know, we'll get to work and we'll fight for you.
Awesome. Remember, we have our own lobbyist. Her name is Sarah Johnson. You can get a hold of her at the Lieutenant Governor's office. Well, thank you so much for taking the time and being on the show with us.
Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. Next time, remember, Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Make sure that you tune in and follow us. Follow us and like us below. I'm sure there's a link. I'm sure my team put it there somewhere. God bless.